The scripture reading today is found in Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 to 10. The resurrection. Now, after the Sabbath, towards the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
It was early in the morning, and Sarah was walking through the park, trying to clear her head after a difficult week. As she made her way down the path, she noticed a group of people gathered around a man who was sitting on a bench. As she got closer, she saw that it was Jesus. She couldn't believe it. How could he be here in flesh? She hesitated for a moment, unsure of what to do. But then she saw the looks of joy and reverence on the faces of the people around him. Without thinking, she ran to him and fell at his feet, tears streaming down her face. "Jesus," she whispered, "I can't believe it's really you." He smiled down at her and said, "Peace be with you, Sarah. Do not be afraid." At that moment, all of Sarah's worries and doubts vanished. She felt a sense of peace and love that she had never experienced before, and she knew that everything was going to be okay. As she stood up and looked around, she saw that the other people had also come to Jesus, clasping his feet and worshipping him. It was a beautiful and powerful moment, one that Sarah would never forget. Friends, after the resurrection, Jesus was there on earth for 40 days. These kinds of stories may have happened, and they may not have been written. But the story is an illustration to prepare us to encounter the Easter message. Could you please follow the text from Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 to 10. The first incident, we see women wanted to go to the tomb. It is possible that a violent earthquake took place before the women arrived, or while they were still on their way. An angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards who were looking after the tomb was terrified of him, and they shook and collapsed like dead men. The four gospel writers present that there were a few women who visited the tomb, including Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and John, probably Jesus' aunt, if you really study in detail, that you can also see in Mark chapter 16, Salome, Joanna, recorded by Luke 24:10, and maybe other women who actually went to the tomb. They approached the tomb not to see an empty tomb or the soldiers lying like dead men, but visited the tomb to complete burial customs of embalming Jesus' body with spices and wondering who would roll away the tombstone for them. You can see this story found in Matthew chapter 28, Mark 16, John 20, and also in Luke 24. But when they arrived, they saw the tomb opened. They were afraid and were alarmed. According to John's Gospel chapter 20, Mary Magdalene among them runs to Peter and John with the distressing news that grave robbers have stolen Jesus' body. It's about 2 miles run. So she must have been very, very anxious. If you see the geographical location, she ran from the top of the mountain to down into the valley and climbed another mountain. So she was very anxious to tell the news to the disciples. Other women who remained encountered the angel who declared to them that Jesus had risen, and they should at once go and tell all Jesus' disciples. Understandably, they are filled with fear and departed from the tomb, afraid to speak. Other gospel narratives tells us that Peter and John ran to the tomb to investigate Mary's claim. Mary Magdalene followed them back out to the tomb, arriving before they left. Peter and John discovered the tomb empty, though they encountered no angel. The text does not give a specific reason why the angel did not appear to these men. But it is possible that the women were the first ones to arrive at the tomb, and that the angel was there to give them a message of hope and assurance. Whereas the disciples were already informed of the empty tomb. According to John's Gospel, Mary Magdalene lingering at the tomb, weeping and peering into the tomb. Suddenly, she saw 2 angels. They asked why she was weeping. When Jesus approached from behind, she supposed him to be the gardener. Then he calls her by name, Mary. She at once recognizes his voice and turns and sees him. Filled with joy, she clings to him. John 20 verse 16. That was the first appearance of Jesus. What happened to other women? The women at once went in haste to inform the disciples. Probably Peter and John may not have returned yet, and these remaining apostles were dismissive of women's story at this point of time. But in today's reading particularly, Jesus suddenly appeared to women. Probably when they were on the way back, like the angel, Jesus too also sends them back to the apostles with the news that he had risen and that he would see them in Galilee. You might ask, why there are differences in the gospel narratives on resurrection? This is a normal question people every time ask. There are several reasons, but I'll give you two important reasons that we need to know. Each gospel writer had a different audience and purpose in mind. For example, Matthew's gospel was written for a Jewish audience and emphasizes the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. Mark's gospel was written for a Roman audience and emphasizes the power and authority of Jesus. Luke, on the other hand, writes for a Greek audience and emphasizes the universality of the gospel message. Whereas John writes with the purpose to strengthen the faith of Christian believers and emphasizes the divinity of Jesus. That's why right at the beginning he said, in the beginning was the Word, Word was with God, and Word was God. The second reason could be, the differences could be, these writers had different sources of information and different perspectives on the events. For example, if you take Mark and Luke, they were not direct disciples of Jesus. But probably they must have depended upon eyewitnesses' accounts, like Peter, John, and others. The best example I always give to understand the Gospels is if a car crash is witnessed by three people, a doctor, a journalist, and a car mechanic. We can easily imagine each person will understand, narrate, and emphasize differently. Isn't it? The same incident, different perspectives. God used these four writers with a purpose, addressing a particular audience. Later, God breathed into these words, and those words became the scriptures. But what is important for us is Jesus' resurrection, which is the powerful doctrine and the essence of Christian hope of life. Life after death has life. That is eternal life. It is striking that the resurrection was first discovered not by Peter, upon whom the church is founded, but by the two women, according to today's reading. The angel rolled away the stone supernaturally, not to let Jesus out, but for the visitors to go in and see the empty tomb. Jesus has already risen from the dead by then, and hence he appeared to Mary from behind. It reminds us Jesus' transfiguration, if you remember the story. The way the angel appeared reminds us of the transformation of Jesus at Mount Hermon, which his clothes too became suddenly dazzling white as snow. But here the soldiers were terrified and collapsed like dead men. At Hermon, the disciples were terrified and fell to the ground like the soldiers. At Hermon, Jesus went down with the disciples to preach the gospel. Whereas here the angel has a message for the two women that they should go and inform the disciples. I would like to draw your attention, most importantly, out of this message of angel, four important things. The angel first said, "Do not be afraid." The reality of resurrection brings joy, not fear. So when you are afraid, remember the empty tomb. Jesus is our power, is our hope, is our assurance. Two, the angel said, "He is not here." Jesus is not dead forever, and is not to be looked for among the dead, because he is alive He is alive with his people. Thirdly, the angel said, come and see. The tomb was empty then. That was a powerful testimony. The resurrection is a historical fact. Indeed, Jewish authorities tried to create the story of Jesus' body being stolen. The tomb guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. The chief priests had met the elders and devised a plan. They gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, you are to say, the disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, because he would punish the soldiers to the death, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story had been widely circulated among the Jews even when this writer was writing the gospel. Despite such devices of the Jewish authorities, the empty tomb was a powerful testimony and Jesus' body was nowhere to be found. Lastly, the angel said, go quickly and tell. They were to spread the joy of the resurrection. And we too are to spread this great news. For us today, it is to go and tell our families, our brothers and sisters, our neighbors, that God loves us. We have hope of life after death. A man was converted to Christian faith from another religion. Some of his friends asked him why he became a Christian. He answered, well, it is like this. Suppose you were going down a road and suddenly the road split into two directions and you didn't know which way to go. So if you met two men at the fork, one dead and one alive, which one would you ask to show you the way? They answered, obviously the one who is alive. Then he said, that is what I did. The message of Easter is just this. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Well, at least he investigated and tried to find his way. It is our responsibility to find the way to Jesus, and Jesus will respond to you. The women took hold of Jesus' feet and worshipped him. When he greeted them, they held on to his feet and worshipped. It shows that it was not a mere vision or hallucination, but a physical resurrection. By allowing this act of worship here in verse 17 also, Jesus accepts the acknowledgement of his deity. Indeed, he is the only God who is to be worshipped in the midst of pluralistic society today. Verse 10, then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. What did the angel say? The same thing. Do not be afraid. Jesus is saying the same thing. Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. Same thing angel conveyed. So Jesus' appearance took place both in Jerusalem and Galilee. However, Galilee was the place Jesus started his ministry and will end his ministry there. In Galilee, Jesus would restate and renew their mission to reach the world. The word my brothers, that is the point to note. This refers not only to 11 disciples, some argue, because you remember when Mary and her sons went to see Jesus when he was in the midst of teaching people, Someone conveyed the message, Jesus, your mom and your brothers and sisters have arrived to see you. You know what Jesus said? Who is my mother? Who are my brothers and sisters? And he showed everyone in front of him. These are my brothers, sisters and mother. And he adds like this, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Therefore, when Jesus said, go to my brothers, indicates that it's a whole family of God. Brothers and sisters who followed all through his journey. The scripture very clearly says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 6, Paul said, at one point of time, Jesus appeared to 500 people together. So, Jesus' appearance, according to the scripture, if you read all the four gospels, there are 12 appearances that are recorded in the scriptures. And this is the major appearance where there are about 500 people there. It also shows, my brothers, indicates that Jesus had forgiven these disciples. Even after they had disowned and deserted him. They were afraid of the religious leaders and stayed hidden behind the locked doors. So Jesus met them first there and then later in Galilee. Friends, after the disciples finally accepted and believed in the resurrection that Christ had told them all about, they came out of the upper room in Acts chapter 2, where they had huddled in fear, and they went to the ends of the earth, and they created a mighty church despite the efforts of emperors and princes to stamp them out of their existence. They went from being people afraid of dying to being people who offered their very lives to help others come to faith, hope, and joy that they had. If you go down to Kerala, the down south in India, a church called Mar Thoma Church, a very powerful church, still existed. Mar means great. Thoma means Thomas. One of the disciples went to India. Many were converted. Hindus gave their hearts. Christianity existed for 2,000 years in India. What do we learn out of this story? God's power is greater than death. The resurrection of Jesus demonstrates that death is not the end. God has the power to overcome even the greatest obstacles and to bring new life where there was once only death. Secondly, we can trust in God's promises. The angels tells the women that Jesus has risen, just as he said he would. This is a reminder that we can trust in the promises that God has made to us, even when things seem impossible. Lastly, we should share the good news. The women are instructed to go and tell the disciples that Jesus has risen. If you believe that you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, it is our spiritual, moral obligation to be his disciple, to go and preach the word. Share our testimony. This is a clear reminder that we should share this good news of the gospel with others so that they too experience the hope of life. May these words inspire us as we leave this building with the hope that Jesus has died, rose again, and he would take us to his eternal home. Amen.